بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made four promises. There are two things that we need to remember about the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. One is that every promise is conditional. The promise is conditional upon our actions. If we do something, then Allah promised to do something else in response to what we have done. So the first thing to understand is that the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are conditional. The second thing to understand and remember about the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they are true. Allah does not go back on His promise. Now let us see what these four promises are and what we need to do to invoke their blessing. The first one is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so remember me and I will remember you. I remind myself and you to reflect on the meaning of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By meaning, I don't mean the translation. I mean, let us ask, what does Allah mean to me? There is a lecture of mine that I did in Qatar, which is called The Meaning of Meaning. And I will ask Azhar to include that link with this khutbah, inshallah. So ask, what does Allah mean to me? Just like we might ask, what does my father mean to me? What does my mother mean to me? What does my child mean to me? Ta'ala Allahu al-amthal, we do not give the examples of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We give an example only for us to understand what we are saying. So let us ask, what does Allah mean to me? I was recently in Eastern UP and we were traveling on the roads from Banaras to Azamgarh. And then locally from Azamgarh to Mir Sarai and so on. And there was some festival that was going on. And we were seeing what people were doing in that festival, all of which according to them was worship. And the only thing that I could constantly remember and think to myself and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for was that I am a Muslim. And because I'm a Muslim, alhamdulillah, I know what the truth is. I know what falsehood is, and alhamdulillah, I do not do those things that I saw these people doing. People just like us, people from my race, my nation, I was not doing those things and I would not do them because I know what who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Now, this is hidayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for which we need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, I am saying here, let me ask myself, what does Allah mean to me? Not what is the meaning of dhikrullah, but what does dhikrullah mean to me? What does the dhikr of Allah, what does remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean to me? What is the effect of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on my heart? The dhikr, obviously, as you know, the word means, the translation of it is remembrance or remembering. And therefore, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces or should produce an effect. Now, what should be the effect? And what is the meaning of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that very specifically and said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. The ayat of Surah Al-Anfal, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the believers are only those. When Allah is mentioned, their hearts shiver with the awe and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when His ayat are recited before them, when they read the ayat of the Quran, when they are recited, when they listen to them, when they see the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around them, the signs of Allah, then their faith increases. And a result of these two things, a result of a heart which responds to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is aware of the awe and majesty of Allah, and a heart and iman which increases by the recitation or listening to the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the result of this is that they put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. They put tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalaluhu. Tawakkul is the result of a responsive heart. Tawakkul is not blind belief. Tawakkul is a belief that is unquestioning, because the question about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is has already been answered. And when that question has already been answered, obviously this question does not keep on popping up again and again. That question has already been answered, and therefore whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, we accept it and we obey it, because we know who is Allah. We are not questioning the order because of blindness, but because of sight, but because we see, because we know, because we understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is. There is no blind faith in Islam. There is faith after understanding who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is. So let us monitor for ourselves what happens when we hear the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we hear or read His ayat or see them in the world around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what the effect of zikrullah is. But does it happen to me? Does it happen to you? That is the question to ask. Now, there are two effects of zikrullah, of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one is safety from sin. And the second one is freedom from anxiety, from fear, from anxiety, from depression. Now, think about these two things. This is the meter with which we can monitor ourselves. When we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot possibly commit a sin. For example, Rasulullah said that a person will be resurrected in the state in which he died. So when we remember this, how can we possibly put ourselves in a situation where we are in a state of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because then we are going to be resurrected in that situation. Among those people in that situation, doing that thing. Now, obviously, any person, any Muslim with iman will not want that. So the first effect of zikrullah is it saves you from sin. Anytime I am sitting with a group of friends, the thought even comes of saying something which is not complimentary to someone who's absent there, which is the definition of backbiting. If I even get the thought, then if I have zikrullah, if I am remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then instantly and immediately the thought comes, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah, I cannot do this because this is haram. And therefore, I will not possibly do anything like that. Similarly, if I find that one of my friends is about to say something which amounts to the disobedience of Allah, then I will immediately tell him, please excuse me, let's not do that. This amounts to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are protected from sin. And when we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the second effect is that all fear of everyone else and all anxiety of everything, or anxiety about everything in the dunya, disappears. These are the physical and emotional effects of dhikr. We have to ask ourselves, do we feel these? There's the beautiful story of Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, which I have mentioned to you before, but very good to remember our Salafus Salihin, alhamdulillah. So Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, somebody asked him, why is it and how is it that you are so peaceful? There is this noor on your face. You don't seem to be worried and concerned about anything. How is this possible? Hassan al-Basri said four things. He said, this is possible because of four things. He said, the first thing is that I know that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for me, no one else can take. Please listen carefully. Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi said, I know that whatever Allah has written for me, nobody else can take. Now, this does not mean that he didn't do any work. It means that he did what he had to do. He worked, and he worked sincerely, but he didn't waste his time worrying. He didn't waste his time in anxiety. He didn't fall into a depression. He didn't keep watching the charts and the economic indicators and start worrying about what's going to happen and the whole world is going to collapse and the economy is on a downtrend, or so on and so forth. All the kind of stuff that we punish ourselves with. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi did not worry about all that. He did what he had to do in terms of earning his livelihood. He earned his livelihood, alhamdulillah. He was happy with that. He was content with that, what he got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. He didn't hanker behind things he didn't have. He was not greedy. He was not covetous. He was not jealous. He didn't look at somebody else and say, wow, man, look at his car. I don't have a car like that. He didn't, he didn't do any of that stuff, right? He did what he had to do in order to earn halal, and he earned halal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for him, and he was happy and content with what he got. So the first thing he said was that I know that nobody can take what Allah has written for me. The second thing he said was that I know that nobody else is going to do my good deeds on my behalf. So he said, I am concerned with fulfilling the purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me. And why did Allah create us? What did he say? He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So, Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah is saying that Allah created me for a purpose, and that purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To obey Allah means to worship Allah. To worship Allah means to obey Allah. So, Allah created us to worship Him, to know Him, to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created us to be connected with Him, to build this connection with Him. So Hasan al-Basri said, this is what I do. I spend my time in prayer, in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in dhikr, because this is something that nobody else can do for me. Just think about this, my brothers and sisters. No one can perform, no one can do your salah for you. If you sleep through Fajr, you have slept through Fajr. Your father went to the masjid, your mother went to the masjid, your sister, brother, whoever went to the masjid to pray, they could not do your prayer on your behalf because you were sleeping and that was the end of your prayer. Similarly, if you had to give zakat, you have to give zakat. Somebody else can't give zakat on your behalf. If you are eligible for Hajj and you are fit and able to do Hajj, then somebody else cannot do Hajj on your behalf. You can't say to someone, look, I'm too busy or I'm too lazy or whatever. You go and do Hajj on my behalf. No, it doesn't work like that. They cannot do Hajj for you on your behalf. While you are alive and healthy and well and wealthy, there is no way that someone else can do Hajj on your behalf. And if you die in that state, then you have died without fulfilling the fard of your Hajj. Similarly, in Ramadan, you are healthy, you are capable of fasting. You can't tell somebody, well, here is kafara. There's no kafara for somebody who is capable of fasting. You're capable of fasting. You say, no, I'm not going to fast. It's just too much trouble. So why don't you fast on my behalf? No, doesn't work like that. So the issue is, Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah is saying that I am concerned with and I do what I am supposed to do because I know that only I can do those things which Allah has made fard on me. So the two things. Third one, he said that Allah, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alimun khabir. Allah is knowledgeable. He has knowledge and he is informed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alimun bidhati sudur. Allah knows what is in our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sami'ul basir. He hears and he sees. And therefore, I am ashamed to commit a sin because I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. I have mentioned this ayat of in Suratul Alaq, Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about somebody who was on the other side of the spectrum, the opposite of Hasan al-Basri, which is Abu Jahl, who lived his life as if Allah could not see him. And Allah is asking, does he not know that Allah is seeing him? Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. With Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayh, yes, definitely he knew that Allah was seeing him and hearing him. So he said, I am ashamed to commit a sin because I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. And the last thing he said, that I know that I will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So I try to prepare for that day. I try to prepare for that meeting. So he said four things. The first one is that he said that he's not worried about his risk, he's not worried about his provision because he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it for him and no one else can take it from him. He is concerned about his fulfilling his faraid, fulfilling his duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he knows that no one else can do them for him. And the number three is he keeps away from all sins because he knows that Allah is watching. And the fourth is that he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one day there will be a meeting between him and Allah, and therefore he's preparing for that meeting. I am asking myself and you, does this apply only to Hasan al-Basri or does it apply to me and you as well? If it applies to us, then let us look into our lives and say, which of these four things are there in our lives? How do they reflect? For those of us for whom these are in our lives, all power to you. Alhamdulillah, may Allah give you istiqamat, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you steadfastness and keep you on the right path. But for those of us where this is not there in our lives. What is it that we are going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That alhamdulillah, we have woken up. Alhamdulillah, we have got the alarm has set off. We know where we are standing today. Let us try to make sure that we do not die in a state of ignorance, even after having been reminded. That is very critically important. My brothers and sisters, think about the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. What kind of lives they had? Because their lives are the lives against which we are going to be measured. Where are we going to be? It's a mercy that the Sahaba are not among us today. Because if the Sahaba looked at me, for example, I ask myself, what is it that they would say if they saw me, if they looked at me and they looked at themselves and they looked at their lives, and would they find any resemblance whatsoever between me and my life and them and their lives? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me and to forgive all of you and to cover us with His cover so that we, inshallah, will not be humiliated before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we meet Him. But the issue is, let us do something to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this excuse to forgive us. Now, we come to the final part of the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy and generosity and grace tells us that when we remember Him, He remembers us. Try to get your mind around this. Here we are sitting in this little masjid remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is remembering us by name on His arsh. This is not my claim. This is what Rasulullah s.a.w. told us in a hadith Qudsi, which is there in Bukhari and Muslim. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah s.a.w. said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am as my slave expects me to be. Ana inda zanni abdi bih. And I am with him when he remembers me. If he remembers me inwardly, I will remember him inwardly. And if he remembers me in an assembly, I will remember him in a better assembly. That is in the assembly of the Malaika al-Muqarrabun, which are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, just think about this. Here is this hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ana inda zanni abdi bih. I am as my slave expects me to be. I am with him when he remembers me. If he remembers me inwardly, I remember him inwardly. And if he remembers me in an assembly, I will remember him in a better assembly than his assembly. Now, what does this do to us? What is the feeling in our hearts? Just think about that. Shut your eyes, go inside your heart and say, here I am sitting in this masjid. Here I am saying, La ilaha illallah. Here I am saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. What is that doing to me? If it is doing something, Alhamdulillah. If it is not doing anything, it's a big... It's a big warning sign for us. Think about this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the best lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you always healthy and free from dependence on anyone other than Himself. Just think about that supposing you are reading on the internet, which a lot of us do. We read stuff on the internet about various diseases and so on. So remember that, imagine that you are reading symptoms of brain tumor. And as you are reading those symptoms, suddenly it occurs to you that, you know what, I think I have this thing because I have these symptoms in me. I get these headaches and I get these blackouts and I get, you know, double vision and so on and so forth. What will that do to you? When you are reading the symptoms of this terminal disease and you suddenly recollect and you realize that you have those symptoms, what does that do to you? I mean, it will drive your sleep away. You know, you suddenly will kind of wake up and you say, my God, let me go find a doctor. Let me find out what's this and try to get it cured. But think about that. Brain tumor is only until we die. But if we die in a state where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, Allah said, everyone in this world is in a state of loss. Everyone in this world is going to be, is in a state where they are in serious, serious trouble. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا صَالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described four things. And He said, except for these people, and may Allah keep us all, and may Allah keep you all among those people who are saved from this. Allah said that anyone else is in a state of loss. What is a state of loss? A state of loss is to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment when He is displeased with us, when He is angry with us, and the result of that is to land in Jahannam. This is a state of loss. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the whole world is in a state of loss except those who are saved from it because of their actions. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. People who have faith, people who do good deeds because of that faith, people who invite others to the truth, and people who have sabr, who have patience in the face of whatever they need to, whatever they have to face from the world, because they invite them towards the truth and towards goodness. Now, except for these four people. Now, think about that. That here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not some Google stuff which is on the internet. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself who is describing the symptoms of terminal illness. And this terminal illness is not something which will end with our death. It is something which will begin after our death. And for that, there is no ending. Why? What does it tell us? Now, I am reading this. I am listening to this surah, and then I look in my life and I say, Wallah, do I have these things, the symptoms of saving in my life? If I do not have those symptoms of being saved, then what am I going to do about what I do have in my life, which are things that are indicating to me that I am in a state of loss? What does this do to us? What is the feeling in our hearts? Seriously, think about that, my brothers and sisters. If that is not the case, then what do we mean by saying that we have iman? What do we mean by saying that we have iman? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning and saying that we are people who that He remembers us when we remember Him. So do we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself, light and darkness are mutually exclusive. They cannot be in the same place together. Darkness has no identity of its own. It's the name given to the absence of light. When light shines in a dark place, darkness vanishes. When guidance comes, ignorance and misguidance vanish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the truth has come and evil has vanished. Surely evil is bound to vanish. Now, this is a metric that we need to apply in ourselves to see indeed if we have guidance. If there is disobedience and rebelliousness and selective obedience in our lives, then we are only fooling ourselves, imagining that we are guided. Light banishes darkness. If there is darkness, then it means only one thing, that light is still to shine into our hearts. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that light. Let us open the windows of our hearts to the light of the noor of Allah's guidance, so that the darkness of shaitan and his whispering will disappear from our hearts. My brothers and sisters, please understand, as I told you, the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are conditional. Please note that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He will remember us if and when we remember Him. There is no remember. Allah will not remember those who don't remember Him. The promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are all true and they are all conditional. Allah gave us the power to decide if we want to be honored or not. So ask yourself, do I want to be honored? If I want to be honored, the path is very clear, which is that praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, live your life as a life of obedience, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor you. And if you do not want to be honored, then that's a choice that we make. The king does not go chasing you or chasing you to honor you, right? The king does not go chasing you around to honor you. He honors those who come to his court. Those who don't want to come and they want to hang around with the enemies of the king are also making their own choice. This is a world and a life of cause and effect. If you want an effect, you must address the cause. Ask yourself, therefore, do we want tranquility? Do we want honor? Do we want safety? Do we want dua that is accepted? Do we want closeness and qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because if we want that, then we have to do something to get that. It is very easy, but we still have to do it. If we don't do it, it will not come on its own. And it definitely will not come if we are doing the opposite of that which attracts it. My brothers and sisters, I advise you and myself, let us choose wisely, because we will have to live with our choice for not just for a very long time, but forever. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to save us from doing everything which is disobedience of Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which pleases Him and to save us from that which does not please Him. May Allah accept your coming for this Jummah. May Allah accept your coming here. May Allah accept your du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you that which you ask and grant you that which you were not able to ask out of His majesty and grace. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.